This is Seattle's Morning News. On the Lake City shooting, we don't have a motive yet. We don't know why the gunman did it. But what we do know is that the accused shooter told investigators he was blackout drunk when it happened. So we may never know a motive. The question in my mind is, since he was blackout drunk when it happened, assuming that's true, can he even be charged with murder? Let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, a conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. As you've explained to me many times, Rob, murder is a crime of intent, right? It requires that you have formed, before the act, in your mind, an intent to kill.
A specific intent to kill. That's right. So the burden is on the prosecutor to prove specific intent. In this case, where someone is pleading intoxication as a defense, they have a burden as well because it's considered an affirmative defense. So the burden is on the defendant to prove that he lacked the necessary intent to commit murder. We can contrast that to the crime of manslaughter. Intoxication is never a defense to involuntary manslaughter, for example, or to rape or battery, certain other crimes, which are crimes of general intent. But when you think about a crime of specific intent, let's say burglary, there has to be the intent to commit the burglary. So, for example, if you go out, buy a lot of alcohol, get drunk, wander into the wrong house trying to find your own home or wander into the wrong apartment, you can claim that even though you were, you know, voluntarily intoxicated, you didn't have an allergic reaction or something, that you didn't enter the wrong home to, you know, steal something. Therefore, you could use it as a defense against burglary, which is a specific intent crime. Here, you might see the shooter's lawyers argue that he should only be charged with or only convicted of manslaughter because he couldn't form the specific intent necessary to be convicted of murder. But that's going to come down to competing versions of the facts and burden of proof on the prosecutor versus burden of proof on the defendant.
Now, in this Lake City shooting, the bus driver has said that the shooter actually got into a combat stance, holding the gun with two hands before firing, which certainly looked like he knew what he was doing. If despite that witness description, if the guy himself can't remember it, does that have any bearing on what crime he could be convicted of?
No, it doesn't. The defendant's claim that he can't remember it is not a defense. You know, there is something called involuntary intoxication, which can be a defense, but that only applies when someone is tricked into getting drunk or consuming a substance like a date rape drug, or has an allergic reaction to medication and blacks out. There, in Washington state law, there is a statute that says that no act committed by a person while in a state of voluntary intoxication shall be deemed less criminal by reason of his or her condition. But it goes on to say whenever the actual existence of any particular mental state is necessary to constitute a particular degree of crime, the fact of his intoxication may be taken into consideration in determining such mental state. All right, so was he so drunk that he couldn't form the intent to premeditate a murder and then carry it out? The defendant's going to come in and argue that's the case. But weighing against that will be evidence like the description you just gave from the bus driver that it sure looked like he knew what he was doing. He wasn't just wandering around, you know, staggering around, waving his gun in the air. He was taking aim, and that's going to work against the defendant's claim that he couldn't form the specific intent required to convict him of murder.
Well, my guess is the prosecutors in the Lake City case very much want this to be murder and not manslaughter because of the heinous nature of the crime. It sounds like then that the alcohol defense would not work in this case.
Well, it wouldn't work to prevent his conviction at a minimum of manslaughter. Mm-hmm. And based on the facts as they've been reported and as eyewitnesses have recounted them, I would guess that it wouldn't be a defense against second degree murder. Conceivably could be a successful defense against first degree premeditated murder.
Really?
I suppose. Well, I mean, if he argues he was so drunk, it wasn't premeditated. He just went outside to, you know, wave his gun around. And it depends on whether he can convince a jury that he was too drunk to form the intent required for, first degree murder. I mean, I don't know that he can here, frankly.
Am I insensitive to think that if you get yourself blackout drunk, you have to be held responsible for whatever you do, regardless of whether you were able to think straight or not? I mean, it seems to me the word is out on alcohol by now, and pretty much everyone knows what it can do.
Yeah, it's been around for, what, 10,000 years?
And yeah.
You pretty much know what the effect of alcohol is. And, you know, that's why the state statutes, typically state codes, typically do not allow voluntary intoxication as a defense from culpability. It can be a mitigating factor, and it can result in lesser charges, but it doesn't mean you get off the hook.
Yeah. Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.